Rooster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. It is Tuesday, 5:03. This is the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano.
Hello, Frank. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm just lovely. Have a big day ahead of me.
Oh, do you?
Yes, I have to write a speech that is supposed to be given on Thursday. I've kind of written a lot of it, but I have to finish it.
Well, do tell. Where is this speech going to be given?
Well, it's actually, it's going to be given to a sort of an activist group on Zoom. It will go all around the world. And it's just going to be talking about overcoming challenges and getting your life back together after you've lost your career and things like that, like your television career specifically, and just how you just deal with challenges as you go on in life.
Can anybody watch it, or is it open only to members of this group?
You know, I actually have to figure that out. I'm going to be talking with the organizer today.
I'm sure a lot of the Huddaholics out there would like to see it.
Oh, I'm sure they would. Lots of good stuff in it.
No doubt.
But anyway, we've got to get to some news, including the weather. Today is going to be just a very, very hot day, Frank, from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center.
How hot is it?
I was hoping you would ask. It'll be 90 degrees today, and it's going to be very sunny. So this will be one of those days when you really have to be careful. Carry water around with you if you're like me and you can't perspire. Just make sure that you're by the air conditioner. Again, it'll be very hot, but we will have some light winds and, you know, decent amount of humidity, not terrible. Tonight, a few passing clouds. Otherwise, it's going to be clear. Tomorrow, we're going to be right around 88 degrees. We'll have some scattered showers and thunderstorms. We may see some gusty winds and small hail. And as we get into Thursday, we're looking at 84 degrees. It actually looks pretty nice. 84 degrees, a mix of sunshine and clouds, and the humidity drops down to 45 degrees, which is really nice. By Friday, we're looking at 83 degrees. Again, lots of sun, and the humidity staying right there at about 45 degrees. So it actually looks, except for tomorrow, looks really, really nice for the next few days.
All right.
74 right now in New York.
Okay, well, the countdown is on for another billionaire to blast off into space. In just a few hours, Amazon founder Jeff Bezos will launch from Texas in his own Blue Origin rocket. Amazon founder Jeff Bezos will and his brother, with two others in the company's first passenger flight, they'll also make history as the first civilian crew without a pilot. They'll also make history as somebody that is going to be accompanying the oldest person ever to go to space and the youngest. The 11-minute ride will get as high as 62 miles. It comes more than a week after Richard Branson flew to the edge of space on Virgin Galactic.
Oh, yeah. So let's just talk about this a little bit. Okay, so we've got the Amazon founder, who is the richest man in the world, flies today from Texas with his brother. Have there been brothers who have flown?
That's a good question. Well, I don't know if they've ever gone
together. I mean, I know that there were two brothers, but I don't think they've flown together.
Yeah, it's a good question. I think you're right, but
we also have the Dutch teenager Oliver Damon. We've got the former NASA trainee Wally Funk, who's 82 years old. She is a pilot, and she was part of that 60s Women in Space training program, but it was shut down during the Cold War. After that, she applied four times to be an astronaut, and she kept getting turned down because she'd never received an engineering degree, which was pretty hypocritical because John Glenn was also selected, obviously, for the Mercury program, and he didn't have an engineering degree. So anyway, she is going to be the oldest person in space. Damon, at 18, will be the youngest, and Bezos, obviously, with his 200-something billion dollars, is going to be the richest. And just very quickly, there were some questions about this Damon guy. We're going to talk about him and sort of the details about this 18-year-old and how he was able to be picked. But we have to get to traffic on the sevens with Joe Nolan, who has been standing by patiently. You're not planning on heading into space anytime soon, I'm taking
it. No, but I would. I love it. I'd love the space program. I just am so cool and loving every bit of it from beginning to end. It's the best
Better
thing
you ever. Than me, buddy.
Long Island Expressway on the outbound side. We got a problem. And for some reason, I can't hear myself. There we go. Outbound LIE at the BQE construction. Two lanes are out of service. Also, as you travel on the eastbound Long Island Expressway, this could be a problem. There's a disabled garbage truck out there between Willis Avenue and the Northern State. So, again, a disabled there in the right lane as you get through there. Southbound Jersey Turnpike, the outer roadway is closed on the overnight. That because of road work. And then Staten Island bound horizontal, the lower level, also the same thing. Closed for road work. And alternate side is suspended. This report of service of UPSJobs.com. Ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $20 per hour at an active job you'll take pride in. Enjoy big-time growth opportunities with Team UPS. Go to UPSJobs.com/CCaucus. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic Talk Radio 77 WABC.
All right, thank you, Joseph. So this Oliver Damon kid, he is blasting off today, Frank. He is going to be making history, like we said, as the youngest person to travel to space. He's only 18 years old. He's Blue Origin's first paying customer. He released a video on Instagram, I believe it was, and he was talking about how he's super excited. He is the son of Yost Damon, who is the CEO of a private equity firm, Somerset Capital Partners, he founded. The firm is based in the Netherlands. And CNBC reporting Damon participated in the auction and had already secured a seat on Blue Origin's second flight, but the company moved him up when the auction winner deferred. Damon's father paid for the seat. The company has not disclosed how much he paid, but I'm guessing it's probably a couple million. Damon actually graduated high school in 2020. He took what they call a gap year, which is what a lot of European kids do, which is just that year off, essentially to travel the world or to travel somewhere and work or whatever. In September, he will be attending the University of Utrecht in the Netherlands, where he's going to study physics and innovation management. And he actually spent his gap year working on getting his pilot's license. And apparently, according to Blue Origin, this trip to space is the culmination of a lifelong interest. I mean, that's pretty impressive, I have to say.
Now, what I'm unclear about based on your description, is this you said is the first paying customer. The person that won the auction for 20 something million dollars and then backed out, he didn't buy this young man's ticket.
No.
Right?
No, so, that's not what I'm reading from multiple accounts.
This guy, the guy that spent the 20 something million, did he actually spend the money or did he not spend it and then it went, you know, to the next highest bidder?
I haven't seen. I don't know. They've kind of kept quiet about that.
Very interesting.
So I can try to do some poking around, but that's as far as I got.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Well, it's anything for you, Frank.
Thank you.
Anything for you.
Well, hospitals are feeling the strain as COVID cases surge nationwide due to the Delta variant. Missouri alone is seeing more patients now than during its winter peak. In fact, the head of the Mosaic Medical Center in Albany fears this spike will be the worst of the pandemic. He's pleading with people to get vaccinated now before they end up in the hospital. Mm-hmm. Nearly all the new cases in every state are among those who don't have the vaccine.
I mean, at this point, it's just we've seen the effects of the vaccine, the symptoms and things like that. And it's so rare to have a very, very dangerous, like Bell's palsy. That's something that they're seeing now with a very, very, very small percentage of Pfizer vaccine recipients. But overall, I mean, clearly the benefits of the vaccine outweigh the risk. I mean, we're now, how long are we into this vaccine? It's been 6 months, 7 months, 8 months. I don't understand why people aren't getting it at this point. But they're not. And this is a big concern because this is a very dangerous variant. All right, moving on right now. President Joe Biden on Monday hit back at growing concerns that his spending plans, which are obviously massive, were essentially driving up inflation, driving up prices. And he says that the price rises are temporary and they are expected. Although, you know, we are trying to bounce back from a pandemic. And so that's part of his reasoning. But obviously, fears of inflation are emerging as a key obstacle for passing infrastructure and family plans. And Republicans are obviously using this data, that this wave of spending is making life worse for working families as a reason to not support some of his policies.
We're going to be speaking with New Jersey State Legislator Declan O'Scanlan a little bit later this hour about his 12-hour suspension from Twitter. But there's another Republican that was suspended from Twitter, and she is making quite a bit of hay. Twitter again suspending Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. The social media giant blocked her for 12 hours yesterday due to unsubstantiated claims about COVID and vaccination efforts. The Georgia Republican ripped Twitter in a Facebook post last night, calling the suspension an attack on her freedom of speech. Twitter did the same thing earlier this year after she made false claims about voter fraud.
Well, have an update on the Fox News situation involving their former host, Britt McHenry. She's an ex-host at Fox News. She has settled a sexual harassment lawsuit against the network after she claimed that it froze her out when she complained about her co-host, Tyrus. She filed this lawsuit back in December of 2019, and in it, the 35-year-old claimed that the news network damaged her career and essentially retaliated after she said that she was sexually harassed by her co-host, Tyrus. Tyrus is and has denied the allegations. Fox supported him. They did not support her. And she says after complaining, she says executive Jennifer Roche told her that she was replaceable and that Fox News never wanted her in the first place. And the lawsuit said since its inception, Fox News has had a sexual harassment problem. It's not clear why she decided to settle. I'm guessing she probably was paid very well. And she said that she wants to put the matter behind her and move forward with her career. I say good luck with that. And I will say, full disclosure, I was asked to testify or give a deposition, rather, in this lawsuit because of my experiences there.
But
so I'm actually surprised that she settled.
You not necessarily because you witnessed any of her allegations.
From my experiences and what I saw.
All right. Well, Sid Rosenberg will be in a little while. So at 5:15, let's get a look at sports with Christian Arnold.
Well, good morning, Frank. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's not like I haven't seen you guys all morning, but let's put this in the category of the Mets just don't make life easy. Michael Conforto hit his second home run of the game as the Mets scored 5 in the 11th inning to beat the Reds 15-11 in Cincinnati last night. A heck of a game, and as always, dramatic, dramatic, dramatic when it comes to the New York Mets.
Conforto 2-for-5 tonight, including a 2-1
home run. He slugs one to deep right center. Forget that. That is way out of here. Back-to-back home runs for the Mets for the second time tonight.
Mets hold a 2.5 game lead on the Phillies for the top spot in the NL East. Before the game, Luis Rojas was suspended for 2 games for his excessive argument with the umpire during Sunday's come-from-behind win against the Pittsburgh Pirates in Pittsburgh. He was not too happy with that. The Mets face the Reds again tonight. The Yankees, they play the Phillies tonight. They start a series against them. NBA playoffs, NBA finals, I should say. Game 6, Bucks with a chance to win it all against the Phoenix Suns. Chris Paul, though, hoping things last just a little bit longer.
Something that Coach and everybody been saying, if you went to the beginning of the season and said we had a chance to be where we are right now, would you take it? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Again, Game 6 tonight. Big game, big chance for the Milwaukee Bucks to win the NBA championship. And the NHL is expected to take a break during the 2022 season to take part in the 2022 Olympics. Now, the NHL schedule has not been released just yet. It is expected to be announced later this week, but there is a break scheduled in for the NHL to participate in the Winter Games. Again, tonight, the Mets play the Cincinnati Reds at 7:10. Interleague baseball between the Phillies and the Yankees, 7:05 at the stadium. This sports report brought to you by Peerless Boilers. They do make America's best boilers. Check them out, peerlessboilers.com. PavilionTankless.com. With sports at 15, Sid will be back for 45. I'm Christian Arnold.
5:17, time for traffic and transit on the 7s. Here's Joe Nolan.
All right, Frank, Long Island Expressway on the outbound side between Willis Avenue and the Northern State are disabled in the right lane. That's a garbage truck, and they sometimes take some time to get out of the way, so we'll have to keep an eye on this. The right lane is out through that area, and so far so good. With rubbernecking and traffic, it isn't all that bad. Long Island Expressway further on in, 2 lanes are out with construction. That's around the BQE. That should be out of the way by 6 o'clock. Same thing, Staten Island bound horizontal. Lower level is shut. And on the drive now on the southbound side, 2 lanes are out. That for road work as well between 79th and 71st Street. Mass Transit, just checked. Everybody good. And alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations again today. today are suspended. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Joseph. So, Frank, yesterday your business stories were just, you hit it out of the ballpark every single time. You. Today, I'm concerned. What? Because what you're going to be talking about, well, tell the folks what you're going to be talking about.
I am going to be talking about the shortest recession in history.
Well, that is a humdinger.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm looking forward to it. Also, in your Jet Set Juliet travel update, great news if you want to travel to Canada. Bad news if you're planning a partying trip in Mykonos. And also, Americans weigh in on their favorite airline. All of that coming up after the break.
This is the WABC Early News.
The opening bell rings this morning after a dismal day of trading on Wall Street. Concerns over a surge in COVID-19 cases sparked a major sell-off. Stocks fell sharply as investors weighed the impact on the global economy. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was down 725 points, the S&P 500 lost 68 points, and the NASDAQ fell 152 points. Airline stocks plunged, with United, Delta, and American losing more than 5%. Declines in Boeing and United Health Group added to the Dow's worst drop since October. Oil prices slid under $70 a barrel Monday, with U.S. prices posting their biggest single-day decline since last September. Now, as promised, the economic downturn caused by the coronavirus pandemic is now the shortest recession in American history. That's according to the National Bureau of Economic Research, which says the recession lasted only 2 months. It began in February of last year and went until April. The nation's economy shut down in March of last year as the virus swept across the country, Julianne.
Thank you very much, Mr. Frank. We also wanted to let you know, just in a few short minutes at 5:30, we have Declan O'Scanlan joining us. He is, of course, he is my favorite Republican politician. He's over in New Jersey, and he's going to be talking about Twittergate, his own Twittergate. He was suspended, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, like me, like so many others. He was suspended from Twitter, and we're going to ask him how he's feeling today now that he's back on. And that is coming up shortly. Meantime, the State Department, kind of following up on what you were just talking about, Frank, the State Department is following the CDC. They have warned Americans not to travel over to the UK because of the variant, the Delta variant, surging there. The nation, the UK, they're fully reopening. But the State Department here in the United States, a little bit concerned about this. So U.S. citizens are now being told not to travel there unless it's essential. I find it funny because the COVID variant, the Delta variant, is surging here as well. But cases across the UK soared by 52%. They continue to jump in massive, massive chunks week by week.
A Florida man is now the first person to spend time behind bars for January's capital attack. Paul Hodgkins was sentenced yesterday morning to 8 months in prison. He had pleaded guilty to trying to stop Congress from certifying the election results. He was caught in photos carrying a Trump 2020 flag on the Senate floor. The judge said the riot left a stain on the country for years to come. More than 500 suspects have been arrested.
Well, there's more news coming out of yet another book being published. This time it's published by Penguin Press. It's coming out today. I Alone Can Fix It, and it essentially is talking about President Trump. Apparently he is a hot topic when it comes to books. But in this book, it is claimed that the former President Trump called Mitch McConnell a, quote, stupid person with no personality. He said that Pence didn't protect the Constitution by certifying the Electoral College result. And he also described Capitol rioters, this is according to this book, as a, quote, loving crowd. I mean, I think we've heard this before, so I think it's not exactly big news. But Trump spent more than 2 hours in March talking to the authors of this book. And according to them, he was pretty candid in his criticism of some of the colleagues that he worked with, including McConnell and Pence and so forth. He blamed U.S. Capitol Police for ushering his supporters inside the Capitol building.
Gossip Girl actress Blake Lively is urging people to stop exploiting celebrity kids. She says her own three daughters with husband Ryan Reynolds were stalked by the paparazzi, calling it frightening. She slammed a tabloid for running the photos and is now asking media outlets to take a stand. The 33-year-old posted a thank you on Instagram to those who've stopped what she calls the scary exploitation of children.
Well, this is a really... just an amazing story to me. I don't know that I could be this type of person. The New Jersey federal judge whose husband was shot and whose 20-year-old son was killed by a critic, essentially, well, she says she forgives this guy. He was an anti-feminist lawyer, and he ended up killing himself. Just Judge Esther Salas on Monday said she forgives Roy Den Hollander. Hollander was a lawyer. He posed as a FedEx delivery driver when he walked up to their house in New Jersey and shot dead Salas' son, Daniel, on July 19th back in 2020. He also, again, shot Salas' husband, Mark Arderi, three times. He critically injured him. And Salas on Monday said that Arderi had crawled outside the porch, onto the porch, trying to get a view of Hollander's license plate after the shooting, and that was essentially very important in tracking him down. Hollander killed himself after the shooting. He targeted Salas' family allegedly because he was angry over the pace of a lawsuit that he'd filed in her court. And Salas said the ordeal led her to launch a campaign urging federal lawmakers to pass a judicial privacy bill.
A pair of shoes worn by basketball legend Michael Jordan during the 1984 Olympic trials will be up for auction soon. The size 13 Converse Fast Breaks are autographed and expected to sell for $100,000. Jordan reportedly preferred these sneakers because they gave him better contact with the court. Bidding starts Friday when Tokyo kicks off its opening ceremony for the Summer Olympics.
Well, I know that you guys have probably heard this, but it's important to reiterate. The American Academy of Pediatrics says all children above the age of two should wear masks in school, even if they've been vaccinated. This news broke yesterday. The American Academy of Pediatrics releasing new guidance that students, again, above age two and staff in school should wear these masks regardless of the vaccination status. They say this because they say most kids aren't eligible for vaccines and masking reduces transmission of the virus. Particularly, they're focusing on this very, very contagious Delta virus. Kids, children do make up 14% of all COVID cases in the U.S. right now, but just 0.1% of all deaths.
At 5:27, let's have a look at the roads with Joe Nolan. Now, Joe, you're vaccinated, right? You told us.
Yes, so I get the Pfizer one.
Pfizer. I'm Moderna.
A while ago now, yeah.
I think Juliet is Pfizer, right?
Yes, I am. Yeah. You know, it's interesting, though. When I was over in Italy, most of our friends over there, I want to say most were not fans of the vaccine. They didn't want to get the vaccine. I'm just wondering now.
Well, neither are a lot of healthcare workers. They say a third of healthcare workers haven't gotten it.
Well, yeah,
Didn't Hackensack Medical Center or Hackensack Healthcare, didn't they just make everybody get it? If you want to work there, you've got to get the vaccine.
Yeah, three people were actually just let go at a hospital because they refused to get the vaccine. So the vaccine hesitancy, it cuts across a lot of different sections. It's not just one ethnic group or one political ideology or one profession. But you're seeing these folks fired because they didn't want to get the vaccine at a couple of different hospital systems. Mm.
Well, it's also interesting to see a lot of people, at least over in Europe, are very untrusting of the medical community for some reason. And that played into a lot of the reasons that some of our friends didn't want to get the vaccine.
I walk into my doctor's office. I say, what do you want me to do?
Yeah, same. You tell me. You're the one who went to our
How the road's looking, Joe. Yeah.
One of us went to medical school and it wasn't me. Eastbound Long Island Expressway between Willis Avenue and the Northern State, a disabled in the right lane, a disabled garbage truck. That continues. Southbound Jersey Turnpike, the outer roadway, is going to be closed. Again, that overnight road work. Staten Island bound for us on a lower level. Again, there's road work. On the drive southbound, 79th Street down to 71 construction. Again, two lanes out. Good news on the LIE at the BQE, though. That construction out of the way, so all lanes have been reopened. And alternate side again today is suspended. This report of service of America's best contacts and eyeglasses. Don't overpay for glasses. Get two pairs and a free exam for just $69.95. That's not just a better deal, it's America's best. Book your exam online today in certain states. Eye exams provided by independent ophthalmologists. See store for details. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
The best airline, I'll tell you, but first let's head over to the news desk for Deb's headlines.
Good morning, I'm Deborah Valentine. Well, the White House says Vice President Kamala Harris has tested negative for COVID-19 after meeting with Texas Democrats who fled the Lone Star State to Washington, D.C. to avoid a quorum on a voting bill. Five of those Dems have tested positive. Nobody heard after Afghanistan's government says several rockets hit near the presidential palace. Nobody's claimed responsibility. RWJ Barnabas Health in New Jersey says it has fired six supervisory workers for refusing to comply with its COVID-19 vaccination mandate. And despite upticks in COVID-19 cases here in New York City, no mask mandate for now in the Big Apple. City Health Commissioner Dr. Dave Choksi says vaccinations are key to driving cases of COVID-19 down.
The key to that remains vaccination.
And the city's seven-day rolling average has ticked up to 1.7%. Official ranked choice voting results, they are expected this week in the New York City Democratic mayoral primary. Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams has less than an unofficial 1% lead over former Sanitation Commissioner Catherine Garcia. Right now, 72, fair skies. Juliet will have your Ramsey Mazda Weather Center forecast. From the 77 WABC News Desk, I'm Deborah Valentine.
Entertaining and informative, it's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Thank you very much, Mr. Announcer Man. We're going to skip the On This Day today, Frank, unless we want to do it a little bit later.
Yeah,
because
let's postpone it.
People we can probably do it later, but we do have a very important guest joining us today to talk about a very important subject, and that is Twitter basically suspending us when they see little words that they don't like or little thoughts that they don't like, and they just decide to put us on ice. And the person who is joining us is, I like to refer to him as my favorite Republican. He is a husband, a father, 13th District Senator, and small business owner in Red Bank, New Jersey, which I did not know, Declan O'Scanlan. What is your business in Red Bank?
My business is right off the main drag, an office right in downtown Red Bank.
Oh, well, I did not know that.
It's a law firm, right, Senator?
No, actually. I am very proudly a non-lawyer legislator. I'm actually a real businessman. No offense to all my lawyer friends, although maybe a little bit of offense.
Well, thank you for waking up with us early. I see that you've already complained about it several times on your Twitter account, which is actually active again. Can you tell us what was the problem? What did Twitter find in your feed that they didn't like?
Well, we don't know because they haven't shut down any other accounts that we can find that expressed any of the sentiments that I expressed. And in fact, they haven't shut down any other accounts that we can see that were expressing much more arguably or definitively false information. So we have no idea. But if that's the case, it should never be the case that these social media entities that control our town squares censor people where you got to scratch your head about why. If they're going to have the power to do it, it has to be something definitive, inciting violence, something blatantly false and damaging.
Yeah.
You couldn't argue that about my innocuous tweet, which was absolutely true, by the way. And even the opinion part of it, I would argue, is definitively accurate.
Well, so wait a second. From what I understood, your account was suspended because you wrote out a tweet questioning whether government should force people to be vaccinated against COVID-19. Is that correct?
That is true. And
okay,
this is from someone who believes in vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe with this vaccine at this point, with all the indicators with this disease, that there's any warrant for mandating vaccines or restricting people that are unvaccinated. That's what I said.
And that seems reasonable. And by the way, it's your opinion. And that's what Twitter is there for. I thought that we were allowed to express our opinions about things. I've certainly seen a hell of a lot worse on Twitter, including coming from our own president, former president.
one could argue that. but yeah, I would argue that it's not only my opinion, but that I was right. It baffles my mind to think that, look, I've got a megaphone and willing to use it. How many other hundreds of thousands of people and tweets have they silenced, you know, in a subtle way? We're just manipulating the message and what people are hearing.
Well, they suspended me. They suspended me it would have been going on for days and days and days had I not deleted finally the tweet. I think I deleted it after 48 hours. But all I did was do a little tease saying that I would be hosting Rudy Giuliani's show. They suspended me. I mean, it was.
Well, that's a problem.
Now, yeah. Senator, you made the decision to take down the tweet that they found offensive as a condition of being restored to Twitter. Is that right?
That's right. That's right. If you challenge what they want you to do and you appeal it, I mm-hmm. learned that it could be weeks
yeah.
before they reinstate you. That isn't very effective. I would rather get back on and use their own forum to argue against their policies. And that's worked out pretty well. Now, I'm not proud that I chose to take it down rather than fight. So let's be clear about that. But I took it down and I'm fighting. I'm hopeful that we can change their policies. Now, I realize that I'm, you know, as much a megaphone as I have, I'm still one small voice, but I'm coming and let's see what happens.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I appealed, but there was going to be no response for God knows how long. I mean, it was just some sort of indefinite term of time. And I just said, this is crazy. So I took mine down too, which is, what is the problem? But, you know, I think it comes down to the analytics. From what I'm told, they just see a certain phrase or they see a word and it's a trigger. And then, you know, the little computers go, and then all of a sudden the tweet is suspended. But the point is that they're doing this to so many tweets that when somebody finally, a human being finally gets around to looking at it, yet, like you said, it could be weeks.
Well, then they got to fix their computer systems. It's not okay for them to craft algorithms that almost randomly silence people. And we know that they do it in a way that moves the message. That's as insidious as a human being doing it purposefully. That can't be. They need to err on the side of not canceling hundreds of thousands. Millions of people? I don't know. Or certainly millions of aspects of a message. Better to err on the side of over-permitting than over-canceling or over-censoring. That's not acceptable.
Well, Senator, we're certainly glad you're back on Twitter. Is part of the frustration for you the inconsistency in which the social media companies enforce their policy about who to suspend and for what?
Absolutely. I mean, if you're going to argue that what Juliet did or what I did, is a problem, how do they fail to create algorithms that edit or censor much more obviously offensive material? How do you screw that up? So, yes, the inconsistency is a problem. And look, either it's inconsistent or there's some purposeful, more insidious methodology at work here. Either way, it's a problem, and we all need to fight it. Not just Twitter, but every social media platform. You know, these are the town squares of our time. The people that argue with me that, oh, well, you just accept their terms, so, you know, they could do anything they want. Well, no. We have given them these forums. By virtue of our acceptance of them, regardless, yeah. They are today's town squares.
It's baffling. It's baffling, Senator, because honestly, you raised a question that even Democrats ask, that even liberals have asked and wondered. And yes, you're right. It's a forum. It's a town square. This is what we're supposed to be doing on here. What I think they should be focusing more on is taking down all the vile filth and horrible name calling and disgusting words that people are constantly using and, you know, to abuse others. Anyway, thank you for waking up so early. I hope you're going to go back to sleep, and I hope you enjoy your day, and I hope to see you soon. Senator.
I am going to go back to sleep. I will enjoy my day. I hope you guys do, too. Thank you so much for having me on, guys. Really
thank you, Senator.
Night-night.
All right. Speaking of going to sleep, Joe Nolan, that is something I'm hoping to do when we leave here in an hour. How are the roads looking for my commute to Staten Island?
I have no idea. An hour from now, who knows?
Well, I mean, you could tell if there are routes that I should avoid.
No, well, I mean, if there was something major, yeah, there's not, though. Everything's good so far. On your way home, I'll let you know in an hour. Staten Island, Valverde's Auto. That lower level, again, you continue to have that road work. We also have problems. Jersey Turnpike, southbound, outer, all lanes remain closed for the overnight road work. Same thing on the drive southbound. You've got two lanes closed, 79 down to 71 with construction. Now, we still have this disabled garbage truck on the eastbound Long Island Expressway between Willis Avenue and the Northern State. That one lane going to be out of service. Inbound Lincoln, Holland, George, all three look to be pretty good. And alternate side of the street parking rules once again today are suspended. I'm Joe Nolan. Traffic on the 7s. Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Breaking news about Canada and about Greece and about Delta Airlines. That is coming up.
The Rooster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
5:40, here's what's happening in the world of business. A rough day on Wall Street yesterday. NASDAQ down 152 points. Airline stocks plunged. United, Delta, and American losing more than 5%. The Dow Jones Industrial Average down 725 points. The S&P 500 down 68 points. Apparently all this sell-off, or at least a good chunk of it, has to be due to the uptick in COVID cases that we're seeing around the world due to the Delta variant. Housing starts for June, though, are due this morning, and experts see the pace of growth slowing. Housing industry analysts forecast growth of 0.8% last month, down from 3.6% in May. That translates to an annualized figure of more than 1.58 million. Those numbers will be out at 8:30 this morning. And the world's richest man, Amazon founder Jeff Bezos, will try to make history this morning. Just over a week after fellow billionaire Richard Branson flew to the edge of space, Bezos will attempt a similar trip aboard his own rocket. Blue Origin's New Shepard rocket is set to blast off at 9 a.m. Eastern from a site in the West Texas desert. Bezos and his crew of three will be taking part in the first manned launch for his private space company, Juliet.
All right, this is the Jet Set, Juliet. Travel update. Good news if you want to travel to Canada. Bad news if you're planning a partying trip in Mykonos. Let's start with our neighbor to the north. We heard the rumors, and now we have confirmation. The country's health minister announced Monday that it will reopen its borders to U.S. citizens starting August 9th. This is a really nice surprise considering Prime Minister Justin Trudeau just last week said they would be opening to Americans, but not till mid-August. The caveat here, you must be fully vaccinated. If you're a certain type of mixed vaxxer, meanwhile, you're not going to get the same perks as other vaccinated passengers on some cruise lines. A mixed vaxxer is someone who has received two different types of vaccine doses. According to Cruise Critic, three different lines, all major companies, have decided that they will not consider travelers who received mixed COVID vaccinations that include AstraZeneca fully vaccinated. So in other words, if you got one Pfizer dose and one Moderna, you're fully vaccinated. If you received a Moderna and AstraZeneca, you are considered unvaccinated and you will not be allowed to sail. The lines include Holland America, Norwegian, and Princess. Carnival also apparently is jumping on board with this. I want to confirm that, though. Over to Greece now, where Americans have been allowed to travel from fairly early on. Unfortunately, if you're planning on heading there in the near future, you better bring some good headphones or earbuds. In an effort to maintain some semblance of social distancing, the happening Greek island of Mykonos has banned music until further notice. That means if you're out at one of their famous beach clubs, you're going to be sipping your ouzo to the sounds of silence. The ban even extends to local shops. Also, another major bummer for the party crowd, a new curfew has been imposed. So once the clock strikes 1 a.m., you better be tucked soundly in your hotel or Airbnb. Citizens and tourists alike are allowed out at 6 a.m. each morning, though. Now, why is the Greek government raining on the party parade? One word, Delta. and not the airline. But speaking of, the Points Guy has released its annual list of the best U.S. airlines, and coming out on top once again is Delta. The company was lauded for its bump policy, like you can get upgraded fairly easily, as well as its slick lounges. Southwest comes in second. It seems that they ranked high in overall customer satisfaction and their bag and change fee policies. A little surprising, United came in third, getting high scores for its vast network of locations and routes and its frequent flyer program. Alaska Airlines came in fourth, followed by American. Another shocker, I actually was really surprised by this, JetBlue was sixth. They got rave reviews for their cabins, but thumbs down for the extra fees. I would have thought JetBlue would be right up there on the top, but apparently not. And I had a couple of other things, but we ran out of time, so I'll bring them to you tomorrow. And that is your Jet Set Juliet travel update.
All right. Well, it's looking like going forward, Met Games will need to have a warning for people who are suffering from high blood pressure or a heart condition not to watch them. Here to explain why is Sportsmeister Sid Rosenberg.
Good morning, Frank. Good morning, Juliet. By the way, I only fly JetBlue. Don't care what the list says. Far and away the best airline in the world.
Oh, I'm a Delta girl.
Oh, God, you could have it. Mets won last night. It was a wacky game. They scored 26 runs. The two teams combined four in 11 innings. But in the end, the Mets hit seven home runs, seven, including two in a five-run 11th inning to beat the Reds 15-11. Michael Conforto, who beat the Pirates for the home run on Sunday, hit two more last night, including this one in the 11th.
Conforto, two for five tonight, including a 2-1 homer,
and he slugs one to deep right center. Forget that. That is way out of here. Back-to-back home runs for the Mets for the second time tonight.
That's Gary Cohen on the call, SNY. That was Pilar and Conforto there. Add home runs for Alonzo, McNeil, Dom Smith, and McCann. And the Mets get the win. The Mets are now 49-42. 2.5 game lead over Joe Girardi's Philadelphia Phillies atop the NL East. They're back in Cincinnati for the Reds tonight. Yankees off day yesterday. They're back at it tonight, hosting Joe Girardi's Philadelphia Phillies in the Bronx. Yanks start today's action 4 games over .500 and 7.5 behind the division leading Boston Red Sox. And later on tonight, Game 6, NBA Finals. The Milwaukee Bucks on quite a streak. They've won three straight in this series. Have a chance with a home win tonight to become NBA champs. Is their best player and one of the best players in the NBA, the Greek Freak.
I kind of like try to focus in the, you know, in the moment, in the present. And that's humility. That's being humble. That's not setting no expectation. That's going out there enjoying the game, competing at a high level.
Not odd. That's actually one of the best NBA players talking right there. Again, 9 o'clock tip off tonight, the Bucks and the Suns. Sports at 15-45, brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out at peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. With sports, I'm Sid.
5:47 with traffic and transit on the sevens. We have the fully vaccinated Joe Nolan.
Well, on the southern state now, on the westbound side, coming into the Cross Island, there is apparently an accident on that ramp structure. So westbound southern state heading to the northbound Cross Island, you got a problem. Also, you got issues as you travel on the LIE between Willis Avenue and the northern state. We have that disabled in the right lane. It's a garbage truck. That will continue. A new problem, this is going to be in New Jersey on Route 22 on the eastbound side in Scotch Plains right around Harding Road. Apparently, there's an issue with a down traffic signal. And on the drive southbound, still that road work as you come on into 79th Street. Mass Transit's good. Alternate side again today is suspended, and this report of service of America's best contacts and eyeglasses. Don't overpay for glasses. Get two pairs and a free exam for just $69.95. That's not just a better deal. It's America's best. Book your exam online today. In certain states, eye exams provided by independent ophthalmologists. See store for details. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on the 7s. Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joseph. We'll have the weather forecast coming up as well as what happened on this day back in a long time ago.
All the news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
5:50, this is the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Moreno. President Biden is set to hold a cabinet meeting today to mark 6 months in office. Yesterday, Biden took time to talk about the economy and his long-term policies as the country works towards recovering from the pandemic, even as the Delta variant continues to show that we're not done with COVID just yet. Also on the president's schedule today is a White House visit from the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Bucs brought home the Lombardi Trophy after they took down the Kansas City Chiefs 55-9 back in February. The victory gave Tom Brady his seventh Super Bowl win. He is expected at today's event.
Well, Christian, get ready for that royal alert, because I'm going to tell you a whopper of a story. The news broke yesterday, and it's a big one if you're a member of the royal family, at least. Prince Harry shocked the royals yet again. News broke yesterday that he has been working with a Pulitzer Prize-winning ghostwriter on essentially a memoir. And that ghostwriter, by the way, was behind the Andre Agassi book and the Phil Knight bios. Both of them were excellent books. I'm guessing that maybe Prince Harry read them and really liked them, and so chose this guy to be his ghostwriter. But apparently, it was a deal that was worth about $20 million with Penguin, the publishing company. The royal family was shocked. Apparently, the Duke had already written the what he calls holy truthful Mexit memoir, not as the prince I was born, but as the man I have become. It will hit shelves next year, and apparently even Prince Charles didn't know about this. So this is a big, big scandal. I have a feeling the royal family's not too happy with him right now.
Will you be purchasing this book,
please? Of course I will. But this is the other thing. In September, you know, they had the unveiling of the Princess Diana statue at Kensington Palace in the gardens there earlier this month. Well, that was for her 60th birthday, what would have been her 60th birthday. Well, they're having a big celebration in September in London for this birthday to honor her. And Prince Harry is supposed to go there. And reportedly, Meghan Markle was going to go as well. So I'm guessing Meghan's going to come up with an excuse as to why she's unable to go. Like perhaps the baby's a little too young or a little too finicky to travel. But I can't imagine her going at this point. There's just too much toxicity. Just don't see it.
Oh, wow. Very intense, very stressful.
Yeah, I'm really worried.
New York City officials are calling on Mayor Bill de Blasio to bring back the mask mandate as COVID cases continue trending upward. Councilmember Mark Levine, the chairman of the New York City Council Health Committee, says we can't ignore what's happening here. He cited the city's case growth being up 167% from just 2 weeks ago. He's gone even further to say children should be required to wear masks when they return to school next fall. The mayor says vaccines are the main focus, adding masks are not going to target the main issue.
Yeah, and just kind of as an addendum to that, nearly a third of hospital workers in New York City are still unvaccinated. Only 70%, essentially, of the New York City workers have had their COVID shots. That rate matches the city's general population, but overall, we're about in the mid-70s, I think, just generally for New York State, as far as vaccination goes. But also, another new book, Frank, to tell you about. This one, questioning the so-called suicide of Jeffrey Epstein, investigative journalist Julie K. Brown outlines the differing accounts about the role of Epstein's cellmate, that ex-cop Nicholas Tartaglione. So in this book, she's essentially questioning why, at the time when you have America's, I would consider him, he would have been America's most important convict at that time, why he was put in a jail cell.
Well, he wasn't convicted yet.
The most important prisoner at that time, why he was put in a jail cell with a massive, you know, hulking quadruple murderer ex-cop. A lot of questions about whether or not this cop was somehow involved, whether or not he was put there for a reason, and so on and so forth.
Very interesting. Mm-hmm. The MTA is putting a planned fare hike on hold until 2022 at the earliest. Finance Committee Chair Larry Schwartz made the announcement yesterday following a meeting. MTA officials had planned to put a number of price increases into effect come November, including the elimination of unlimited 7- and 30-day Metro cards. Board members say they're putting the increase on hold due to the ongoing financial impact of the pandemic.
All right. Well, we're going to have a lot to get to at the top of the hour. We'll talk about Jeff Bezos and his big flight today, which is going to be covered live starting at 7:30 a.m. Eastern time. And we'll give you updates on that, I'm sure, throughout the day and tell you about. I mean, it really is a history making flight in so many different ways. And we'll get all that a little bit later for you. But in the meantime, A pair of brothers from Long Island are among the victims of the deadly Florida condo building collapse. This is according to local authorities down there. They were both natives of Dix Hills. Dr. Brad Cohen was 51. He was identified on Friday as one of the 97 victims of the collapse that happened in the Champlain Towers South building in Surfside on June 24th. That was days after his brother, Gary Cohen, was also pulled from the rubble and identified. The two brothers, both left the Suffolk County home to pursue careers down south. Gary was in Alabama. Brad was in South Florida. And their parents, Morton and Deborah Cohen, they stayed in Dix Hills until 2019. They also moved down to Florida after that. Gary Cohen had been staying at his brother's 11th floor apartment at the Towers the day of the collapse to visit their ailing father, sadly. That is just so sad. Horrible. Oh, my yikes. Terrible.
Well, after traffic and transit on the 7th, I'm going to tell you what we'll do this date in history. And the top of next hour, I'll tell you where you can find the best pizza in any place in America. The answer may surprise you. 5:57. Joe Nolan, what is your favorite pizza destination if you had to pick?
Right here in Westfield, Ferraro's.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Great. Absolutely phenomenal. It's what I grew up on, you know? So, I mean, it's I love it. Absolutely phenomenal. Great place. I'd love to take you there one time.
Hey, I'm game. You don't have to ask me.
Great
twice.
Italian food. Really, really good stuff. Long Island Expressway, as you go eastbound between exit 37 and 38 Willis Avenue, a disabled garbage truck, the right lane out of service there. If you're westbound on the Southern State, again, the ramp to the Cross Island Parkway, an accident. There's an unauthorized truck involved in this as well, and he may have hit the overpass. Trying to get that confirmed right now. If that happened, of course, obviously, this is going to be there for quite a while. Wanton northbound Hempstead Turnpike, a debris spill. Also, Route 22 eastbound at Harding Road in Scotch Plains. That traffic light is down. And alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations again today are suspended. This is for the service of Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield. Anthem Blue Cross and Heart of America, helping schools across the country to increase their access to healthy food. Learn more, empireblue.com/NYLiberty. I'm Joe Nolan. And traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Joe. Yep. Let's just give you a quick weather forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. Today it's going to be very warm, 90 degrees, lots of sunshine. Really going to be a very nice day to go to the beach or the pool. Winds light and variable. Decent amount of humidity, though, unfortunately. But that humidity drops a little bit by tomorrow when we have some scattered showers and thunderstorms. Also gusty winds and small hail possible. A high of 88 degrees. By Thursday, however, we're looking at a really nice day. 84 degrees, lots of sunshine with a little bit of clouds rolling in there and fairly low humidity, 45%. Same goes for Friday as well. It's pretty much a carbon copy of Thursday. So it looks pretty nice. And also into the weekend, Saturday looks great as well. 85 degrees and a decent amount of humidity. Not bad, 49%.
Well, today in history, in 1937, a guy very important to us, Marconi, died. Marconi is credited as a pioneer in the creation of radio technology. He was, of course, awarded a Nobel Prize for Physics back in 1909.
Well, back in 1881, Sioux Indian Chief Sitting Bull surrendered to U.S. federal troops.
And in 1859, the baseball game between Brooklyn and New York marked the first time spectators were charged admission to a game.
And on that note, we are going to take a quick break. We have headlines coming right up, and then we'll have some more deep into the dive headlines for you coming up.
For your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. Couple of minutes after 6 o'clock, it's the WABC Early News. 74 degrees. I'm Frank Morano.
And I'm Juliet Huddy. Thank you for joining us again. A lot of history being made today, Frank. Jeff Bezos' space company, Blue Origin, tweeted Monday night that they are a go for launch. The Amazon founder is flying on Tuesday from Texas with his brother Mark, a Dutch teenager, and a former NASA trainee, Wally Funk. By the way, Wally Funk is a pilot, 82 years old. She was part of the 1960s Women in Space training program until it was shut down during the Cold War. She applied 4 times to be an astronaut. She was turned down because she never got an engineering degree, despite the fact that another astronaut, John Glenn, was selected for a program. He didn't have an engineering degree. So she will become the oldest person in space. Bezos will be the richest person ever to have gone to space. And Damon, Oliver Damon, who is this 18-year-old Dutch teenager, he will be the youngest. It is the first human flight launched by the space company Blue Origin. And it's taking off from Launch Site 1 in Van Horn, Texas. A live stream will start at 7:30 Eastern time.
A yet-to-be-released pizza encyclopedia Ooh. Is making a surprising claim for the best pizza city in the United States. The Modernist Pizza is set to be released in October, and it reportedly will name...
Can we guess? Can we guess?
You will never guess it.
Never?
Go ahead.
New Haven?
No. Makes too much sense.
Mm. Jacksonville, Florida.
No, but you're now on the right track.
What? Where?
Okay. Modernist Pizza, which is set to be released in October, will reportedly name Portland, Oregon as the country's pizza capital. The authors of the encyclopedia visited over 250 pizzerias around the country, but say Portland's innovation and passion to make the best pizza gave them the crown. They added that there is not a set style of pizza that defines the West Coast city's pizza, but the emphasis on quality ingredients that makes it stand alone.
So quality ingredients, like, I mean, what are they talking about? We have quality ingredients here.
Apparently we don't. But apparently when the book is out, we're clearly going to have the author of Modernist Pizza on this radio program to discuss it.
Well, I'd also like to fly out to Portland personally to find out what exactly is going on here.
Let's get you to Westfield, New Jersey first so you can try the Joe Nolan place.
That's true. I have found that there's really some excellent pizza along the in the beach towns along the Jersey Shore. I have to tell you, some of the best pizza around Jersey Shore.
Where specifically would you recommend?
Well, I actually found some really good places in Rumson, New Jersey, in Red Bank, New Jersey, and I think Rumson as well. But I don't remember the specific places. I remember it was on the boardwalk somewhere, maybe in Atlantic City or maybe south of Atlantic City.
Well, it's funny. I just posted on Facebook an article ranking the 10 best pizza shops along the Atlantic City boardwalk.
Oh, okay.
If people are planning a trip down there, maybe for Mob Movie Con this week, they can check out and compare their own rankings to those in this list.
And then you also have a personal preference style.
If sure,
you like the thin
right.
crust, you like the thick crust.
Exactly.
I mean, one of my favorite pizza places in the world is in Chicago, and it's that pizza in a bowl place where it's just, it's outrageous. It's so good. But I mean, that's not the pizza that I would choose as the best pizza.
Right. Right. Again, everything is subjective. You're exactly right.
But they're wrong. They're wrong about Portland.
All right. 6:07. We are working on coordinating a WABC Early News pizza outing at Joe Nolan's favorite pizza shop in Westfield, New Jersey. And Joe, you are claiming you're going to pay for this meal.
Yes. Oh, it'll all be on me.
Well, of course.
Wow.
He's got
pizza,
a boat.
Wine,
he's got a
everything.
Second home.
Well,
I mean.
I will certainly be there. Double
you know, I didn't realize you met down the shore. There's like three brothers. There's the Sawmill.
Three brothers.
Down in Seaside. There's Sawmill. There's Lenny's. There's Little Mia's. I mean, down by me, down the shore, there's a whole ton of places.
Well, no, Three Brothers Pizza, where is that one?
That's on the boardwalk in Seaside.
Yeah, that's the one that I've been to. I love that one.
Seaside Heights. Oh, and the pies are like, you know, 5 feet wide.
Yeah, they're good. Mm-hmm.
JR's, too. I forgot about JR's. Westbound Southern State at the Belt Parkway. Again, the ramp restriction continues. That truck did hit the overpass, so that's going to be there a while. Westbound already bumper-to-bumper Fletcher Avenue coming into the Belt Parkway. Now, on the Long Island Expressway, we still have that disabled garbage truck. Again, the right lane going to be out of service as you come on into the area of Willis Avenue. Then in New Jersey, eastbound Route 22, Harding Road, down traffic light. That continues. Transit Authority, the A trains. Again, there are issues there. An alternate side of the street. Parking rules and regulations once again today are suspended. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joe. I am loving the weather forecast. It is going to be hot, hot, hot today. We just had an updated forecast for you. Today, we're looking at temperatures soaring up to 91 degrees with lots of sun, probably not a cloud in the sky. It's going to be very, very, very warm today. Great day to go to the beach. Tomorrow, we're looking at mostly sunny skies early on, and then the day will start to get a little cloudy. We'll have some scattered thunderstorms later in the day with gusty winds and small hail possible. But then by Wednesday night, things start to clear up. get down to about 67 degrees, and then the temperature drops down to 84 degrees for Thursday. Nice and a mix of clouds and sun on Thursday. Not too bad. Friday, we're looking at mostly sunny skies, 84 degrees, and Saturday, 85 degrees with mostly sunny skies and a fairly decent amount of humidity. Not so bad. It's not going to be too muggy. So it's looking really good, Frank. Right now, it's 74 degrees, rather, in New York City.
Parents across New York City have until midnight tonight to register their children for Summer Rising. The free program aims at closing the educational gap created by the coronavirus pandemic while also giving kids a space to be around their peers and teachers. Mayor de Blasio says the program runs 5 days a week from 8 a.m. until 6 p.m., claiming working parents are thrilled with the full-day care.
Well, since we're talking about students, I wanted to bring us back to that that rocket launch today. Oliver Damon is going to be blasting off today. He is going to be making history as the youngest person to travel to space. He's 18 years old. He is Blue Origin's first paying customer. He's the son of Yos Damon, who is the CEO of Somerset Capital Partners, a private equity firm based in the Netherlands. CNBC reports that the younger Damon participated in the auction and had already secured a seat on Blue Origin's second flight, but the company moved him up when the actual auction winner decided that we couldn't fly. Damon's father paid for the seat, though the company hasn't disclosed how much. Damon graduated from high school in 2020. He took a gap year where he worked on his pilot's license, and apparently he's attending the University of Utrecht in the Netherlands, where he's going to study physics and innovation management come September.
New York City Democratic mayoral candidate and Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams is calling for an overhaul of bail reform laws. The Democratic nominee for mayor says a person who fires a gun should not be out on the streets the next day. Adams joined New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand in Brooklyn to call for passage of a law that would criminalize gun trafficking across state lines. Adams added that violent offenders should be incarcerated until a trial determines whether a crime has been committed. His comments come as shooting incidents have spiked by 22% in New York City this year.
Former FDA head Dr. Scott Gottlieb says most unvaccinated Americans will get the Delta coronavirus variant, and they are at risk of being hospitalized because of it. Gottlieb said around 25%, basically a quarter of the U.S. population, is at serious risk because, as he broke it down, 50% of people have been fully vaccinated and another 25% have had COVID-19. And he warns that the current case numbers are actually being undercounted. I mean, this makes sense because people with mild or no symptoms aren't going to be going and getting testing like we used to do. The U.S. recorded a 210% increase in COVID infections from 3 weeks ago. Missouri saw average cases rise by 111% just in the last 2 weeks. So this is a very, very serious, serious strain.
More than 100 boaters in Florida are planning to sail to Cuba on Thursday. Organizers want to let people on the island know they're supported in their call for freedom. They won't cross into Cuban waters, but they will get close enough to shoot flares. This comes as protests continue for a second week in Miami, Orlando, and Tampa in a show of solidarity. Cuba is dealing with its worst economic crisis in decades, made worse by the pandemic.
I have a little bit of entertainment news. First of all, Britney Spears' former bodyguard, Fernando Flores, has claimed that the pop superstar was given antipsychotic medications, which would make her go from sane to talking about parallel universes. That news comes as Britney is spotted with a ring on her engagement finger in L.A. after, of course, she has claimed conservatorship banned her from marrying Sam Asghari, her boyfriend, and having a baby. So potentially Britney is going to be walking down the aisle. I don't know. But as we wait for Sid Rosenberg to get up, or just Sid to get here with sports, remember yesterday, Frank, I was telling you about the Tokyo Olympic folks that made these beds for all the Olympians. Essentially, the frames were made out of cardboard so that they would not have sexual relations. Well, apparently, an Irish gymnast named Rhys McClenaghan posted a video of himself jumping on a cardboard bed frame at the Athletes Village in Tokyo. He wanted to debunk fake news claims that they are too unstable for sex. So they are sturdy enough for physical activity, as they say.
Who do you think, Juliet, is the highest paid musician, at least as of last year?
Taylor Swift.
That is absolutely right.
Yes.
Pop star Taylor Swift is raking in the dough. She tops Billboard's list of last year's moneymakers, pulling in almost $24 million. Almost half of it came from streaming profits, while sales made up another $10 million. Second on the list is Post Malone with $23 million.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. And Celine Dion was the third highest paid musician, followed by the Eagles and multi-Grammy Award winner Billie Eilish.
One of my best friends, Seven, a makeup artist, is going to be traveling with the Eagles on their tour, doing the makeup for them.
Well, I hope she's well compensated.
I hope she is, too. President Biden, by the way, and First Lady Jill Biden hosted Jordan's King Abdullah II and Queen Rania, and also their son, Prince Hussein, at the White House on Monday. Biden praised King Abdullah as a stalwart ally in a tough neighborhood. You could say that again, as the two leaders talked in the Oval Office. And Dr. Jill Biden hosted Queen Rania for tea in the yellow oval room of the White House's residence. The meeting obviously comes after relations turned a little bit frosty after then-President Trump moved the U.S. Embassy in Israel to Jerusalem. But it seemed like they all were getting along just fine.
6:15, time for sports with Sid Rosenberg. What's happening, Sid?
Well, a wild one last night in Cincinnati, Frank. Our New York Mets, 7 home runs. They hit 2 in the 11th. Outscored Cincinnati 5-1 in the 11th, and they beat the Reds last night 15-11. Michael Conforto, whose ninth inning home run beat the Pirates on Sunday, hit 2 more yesterday, including this one last night in the 11th.
Conforto 2-for-5 tonight, including a 2-1
homer, and he slugs one to deep right center. Forget that. That is way out of here. Back-to-back home runs for the Mets for the second time tonight.
That's Gary Cohen on the call, SNY. Add a home run for Pilar, Alonzo, McNeil, Dom Smith, and McCann. Again, 7 home runs. Mets beat the Reds 15-11. Mets improved to 49-42. They're in first place atop the NL East. Right now they lead Joe Girardi's Philadelphia Phillies, who'll be in the Bronx tonight by 2.5 games. Mets in Cincinnati for the Reds again later on tonight. Yankees again, they'll host the Phillies. They were off yesterday. They start today's action 7.5 behind the division-leading Boston Red Sox. And tonight is game 6 in the NBA Finals, and all of a sudden, after trailing Phoenix 2-0, the Milwaukee Bucks are on the verge of winning an NBA championship. They've won 3 straight. They'll host Phoenix tonight. Here's their mega superstar, the Greek Freak.
I kind of like try to focus in the, you know, in the moment, in the present, and that's humility. That's being humble. That's not setting no expectation. That's going out there enjoying the game, competing at a high level.
Tip-off once again at 9 o'clock tonight. The Bucks looking to become NBA champs. Phoenix hoping to force a Game 7 back in their building later on this week. Sports at 15-45, brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out, peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. With sports, I'm Sid.
6:17, time for traffic and transit.
You all right there?
Here is Joe Nolan.
Well, where the Southern State, the Belt, the Cross Island all come together, we've got a big old problem now. Westbound Southern State, tractor trailer, of course, actually it's a box truck, which doesn't belong there, slammed into one of the overpasses. The top of the truck got seared off. There's debris all over the place. And this is westbound on the Southern. Now, bumper to bumper, at least Fletcher Avenue on in. And now we're starting to see problems on the Belt Parkway. Apparently, with the debris on the roadway on the eastbound side, you've got issues as well. So, Belt, Cross Island, and also the Southern State, all affected by this, and it's all right in that big ramp structure that is there. Now, eastbound on Route 22, Harding Road, that down traffic light in Scotch Plains, that is still there. We also have problems on the A trains. Again, crew availability an issue again today, so there are delays in alternate side of the street. Parking rules again today are suspended. This support a service of Dell Technologies. Enjoy a business upgrade during Dell Technologies' Black Friday in July event. Get savings up to 50% off and take your office to Windows 10 Pro Plus. Get special pricing on Dell servers and along with easy financing. Dell Financial Services, 877 Ask Dell. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Do you care about your money? Then you're definitely going to want to listen to Frank's business report coming up momentarily. But first, your weather report from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. We have mostly sunny skies to look out for today with a high of 91 degrees. Tonight, we're going to have a few passing clouds. The winds will be light and variable. By tomorrow, we will see some sun early on, but then scattered thunderstorms developing later on in the day. Those could have some gusty winds, and small hail is possible as well. But interestingly, once the evening comes, we're going to start to see the skies clearing. We'll have mainly clear skies overnight Wednesday night, leading into a really nice day on Thursday. 84 degrees with a mix of clouds and sun. The humidity drops down about 15 percentage points to 45%, which is not bad. That's Thursday. Friday, we're looking at a pretty much a carbon copy. We'll have lots of sun, maybe some afternoon clouds, but mainly sunny, 85 degrees. Same thing for Sunday, 85 degrees, although we will have some rain showers early with isolated thunderstorms developing throughout the day. Currently, the temperature in Huntington is 69 degrees, and in New York City, it's 74.
Stocks down, down, and down yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was down 725 points. The S&P 500 down 68 points. And the NASDAQ down 152 points. Stock trading app Robinhood is looking to go public with a big market valuation. The California-based company alerted federal regulators that it wants to be worth up to $35 billion. It says shares could be valued at up to $42 each. Robinhood would have the symbol HOOD on the NASDAQ once it debuts. And it looks like fitness company Peloton is planning to expand its offerings with a new video game. That's according to a report from The Verge, which says that the cycle maker will soon launch an in-app game they're calling Lane Break. And Israel's new prime minister says Ben & Jerry's has decided to brand itself as the anti-Israel ice cream. Naftali Bennett made the statement yesterday after the Vermont ice cream maker announced it will no longer sell its products in what it called the occupied Palestinian territory. Ben & Jerry's called selling its ice cream in the disputed territories inconsistent with its values. Prime Minister Bennett called it an anti-Semitic decision and asked U.S. states with laws against Israel boycotts to sanction Ben & Jerry's. Sales will continue inside Israel, Juliet.
Thank you much. Let's bring our Israeli king here to tell us about what's happening on the show today. Hello, Mr. Sidney.
Hi, Juliet. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm great.
What's happening?
Well, for starters, Frank's, this is a cousin. This is Kimberly Kravitz. She's Rachel's cousin, your lovely
wife.
That
is correct. Yes.
She made her debut on the Bernie and Sid show yesterday.
Big day for her.
She said something nice about you, of course.
Yeah, I heard that.
What does she do?
She's a reporter.
Oh. For whom?
For a New Jersey network. It's people could see her on
MeTV.
MeTV.
She actually won an Emmy Award for that Larry Menti show, I guess.
Yeah,
right?
She's very talented and has a great attitude.
Yeah.
Actually.
She's a beautiful girl. It's really what you want to say, but you won't say that because she's Rachel's cousin, but she's gorgeous. And
is
she's
she?
30. And
noticed.
Yeah. Oh. I met her father. The funny story is I met her mother and father at Cardullo's last week after Margot threw out the first pitch. And her father, Frankie, just a sweet guy, huge fan. And him and I got to talking at the restaurant. And it wasn't until days later that I found out about his daughter and daughter's relationship with Frankie's wife.
And a great couple, Frank and his wife, Leonora.
Beautiful couple.
Who I actually bought Rachel's engagement ring from Frankie. He is a terrific jeweler.
Big time jeweler.
Yeah, absolutely.
There you have it. All right, busy show today on Bernie and Sid. It's Tuesday. Bo Dietl's going to stop by. I know both mayoral candidates, Eric Adams and Curtis Sliwa, talked about the gun issue yesterday here in New York. So we'll talk to Bo Dietl about that. And then Nicole Malliotakis is going to stop by. And she's going to talk about the Greek Freak and the Milwaukee Bucks. No, she's not. She'll be here later on this morning. And then we're going to talk to John Tobacco. This is a Frank Morano special. Tobacco was arrested again, this time for not taking his mask off or refusing to wear a mask at the Board of Elections on Staten Island. He's running for comptroller come November. So this is a pretty serious arrest. I mean, this will get you 25 years in the big house, no?
I don't think that much. But it is interesting to see things escalate in this manner.
Well, I like what John's doing. Good for John. So he'll join us at 9:05. And then the man who's made the rounds today and was part of the Kravitz conversation yesterday, Declan O'Scanlan, will join Bernie and Sid, too. So Dietl, Maliotakis, Tobacco, and O'Scanlan all coming up on the big show in about 7 minutes.
All right.
All right, then.
Show
right.
and a half.
Hey, now. Now I'm leaving, so you guys have fun. And
you don't want to talk about anything else? Nothing else going on in life?
Or the Ben & Jerry's Israel situation?
The Ben & Jerry's thing has me very aggravated. I did see a story today about Ebony Williams.
Oh, I did too.
That she couldn't practice law in North Carolina because she couldn't pay the bill.
Well, no, because she's like, why am I going to be paying the fees anymore if I'm not going to be down there practicing my law? I think a lot of lawyers do that, don't they?
No, that's stupid. I mean, Danielle still pays her fees down in Florida. Even though she's practicing here in New York, you never know what could happen.
Exactly.
I mean, the Real Housewives of New York is an abomination. The ratings are horrendous. They're actually talking about canceling the show. She could be back practicing North Carolina in 15 minutes. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
The whole Housewives, to be honest, at this point, the whole Housewives, almost all of them, maybe outside of Beverly Hills, is a disaster.
I have to tell you, I kind of agree with you on that. Yeah. They're so unlikable anymore. I've turned on all of them, and I'm watching.
Me too.
I'm the Below Deck queen now.
Yeah, I've turned on all of them too.
Below Deck Med, Below Deck Sailing Yacht, just regular Below Deck.
I've actually moved off the whole channel. I'm done with Bravo, so that's the end of that.
Oh, come on.
I'm done with it. Yeah.
Once they've lost Sid Rosenberg.
You're done. You're
besties with Dolores.
Not anymore.
You're not?
No.
Oh, no.
So, I moved my way to, what did I watch last night?
Wait, what happened?
What's that?
What happened?
Busy schedules. It's fine.
That was a tough Met game yesterday, boy.
Yeah.
I mean, listening to that on the way in was painful.
It was painful. So, I have to figure out a new channel to just kind of immerse myself in now. I don't know, TLC maybe, or I'll figure it out.
Oh, no. There's a bigger story here, and I will delve into it.
No, you won't.
Yes, I will. Your phone is going to be dinging in about 2 seconds.
I figured that was going to be. I have to start the show. I'll talk to you later. I love you both.
All right. So check out the Bernie and Sid show at 6:30 with State Senator Declan O'Scanlan, Congresswoman Nicole Maliotakis, John A. Tobacco Jr., candidate for controller, arrested for refusing to put on a mask, and Bo Dietl. So it's going to be an action-packed show for the next 3 hours and 30 minutes. Anything else you want people to be aware of, Juliet, before we make our way out of here?
Well, I would just like to remind everybody, if you're planning on a trip to Mykonos, the beautiful party island of Mykonos in Greece, you might want to reconsider because they've banned music. I can't even understand this. Like, music is the thing that brings everybody together. And I guess that's the reason that they've banned it, because they feel like too many people, when they're out drinking, they start dancing and they're going to be all, dancing sexy together.
I was going to ask, what was the rationale for banning music? It's that.
I mean, I think the rationale is just once the music is playing and the people are dancing and they've had a few, ouzos and whatever else they're drinking there, then they start getting, touchy feely with each other on the dance floor. And next thing you know, you've got a COVID surge.
We also want to thank Peerless Boilers for making Sid Rosenberg available to us in the preview of what's coming up on the Bernie and Sid show. And I'll just mention, Megan Thee Stallion is thrilled with becoming a cover girl for the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. The rapper was selected as one of the women to grace the cover, and she wrote on Instagram, "The honor means the world." She also said in all caps, "It's a dream come true." Have a great day, Juliet. See you tomorrow.